Wow. That's my first word. I got the Bible. I got the water, that which is required for life and godliness. Both are here. Good evening. Thank you, Guy, for those kind words. Julie and I count it a huge privilege to serve alongside you and Heather and some amazing, wonderful men and women. So I think this evening will become incomplete if we don't appreciate Guy and Heather for the work they have done for us. So I want to take few seconds just to appreciate them for their wonderful, wonderful leadership. Let's appreciate Guy and Heather. The theme for this festival was the unshakable. Unshakable kingdom, unshakable devotion, unshakable church, unshakable faith, unshakable grace, and the unshakable gospel. And I'm going to speak on the unshakable mission. And after this, nothing can shake us. I think when we plan for an event or a festival like that, especially after coming on the back of a pandemic and a break, we plan things, but we don't even know how it is going to pan out. And right from the word go, when this platform was lit up and worship began, we experienced something significant. We experienced the presence of God. And I want to say, this has been an outstanding conference, a gathering of family together for mission. So, yes, God is with us, but then we are together in it. So I want you to give a big hand to one another. Yeah? Thank you for being here. I know guys said it. Yes. Thank you, Lord. We are coming to the end of Commission Festival 2023, the last session. And I am really thankful to God for the privilege of bringing God's word to you this evening. I can't tell you how excited I am, not only just being here, and all of us brothers and sisters who came from India and other parts of the world, I'm sure you would agree with me, we are going back much blessed and encouraged. So thank you for your hospitality and the way you have really encouraged us. What an incredible giving. At a time where we are all wondering how we're going to pay the next bill and maybe sometimes cutting corners here and there, there is a call for graceful giving, and you have responded. And I want to say on behalf of Guy and I know Guy has already said that, but I want to echo the same. I want to say thank you, thank you, and thank you. Right? So, my prayer is that we will continue to live in the good of what we have experienced here. I'm going to share the final word, the unshakable commission, the mission. I'm going to be speaking from the book of Ezekiel. And to do the Bible reading, I'm going to invite Megan to come up. So as she comes up, may I request all of us to stand on our feet as a mark of respect to the Word of God. Megan.
We are reading from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, verse 1 to 12. This scripture is called the river from the temple. The man of God brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced the east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gate facing the east, and the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and then he led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was now up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En-Gedi to En-Gleim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea, but the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Megan. Thank you. You may be seated, please. What an amazing scripture that is. Perhaps a perfect fitting for the final message for our gathering here. My prayer and my desire is that we will draw from the scripture, and then we will be commissioned to go out and start bearing fruit. Not bearing fruit once a year or once in 2 years, but bearing fruit every month. Can I hear an amen for that? By the way, you know that I'm from India, so this kind of response that you've been giving so far is good. Now you need to do it better. And, you know, I'm feeling quite cold here. I just can't get around this idea of calling this summer. I'm freezing. Just for the sake of camera and the better picture, I've removed my jacket. And I want to say I'm suffering for the gospel at this stage. How do you call this time summer? I mean, you go to Texas, it is 40 plus. You come to India, it is 32, 34. I mean, you come here to this summer, and everyone on layers. Yeah. Thank you for setting up this weather. But I must tell you, on a day it was supposed to be heavy shower, Guy and I, Heather, Julie, and myself, we were traveling into the car, and he said, the weather is going to be so bad. And I said, let's pray there won't be any rain. There won't be any continuous shower. And God kept the rains away on that day. It was the second day. And I believe God answers prayer. Even tonight, as we hear God's word, we must believe things will happen to us and things will happen for us. Amen. Amen. Background of this passage that was read earlier. Ezekiel was a prophet of God. A prophet of God who actually, he did not live in the promised land. He lived at a time, he wrote this at a time he was in exile. The nation of Israel disobeyed God time and again. And as a result of that, God allowed certain things to happen in their life. And then they were kicked out of their own country and some were taken into exile. So when Ezekiel saw this vision, and this book of Ezekiel has the maximum number of visions and maximum number of descriptions about how God is trying to speak to his people. And we come to this point where Ezekiel and his entire ministry in a foreign land in the city of Babylon. All through this vision, the temple had been destroyed in Israel. The temple had been destroyed. Now Ezekiel is in Babylon, and there he sees this amazing vision. The vision that we just heard earlier. In the middle of this passage, in verse 6, is something significant. I want you to take note of that. The tour guide, the temple tour guide, has actually asked Ezekiel a question. The question was this: do you see it? Son of man, do you see it? And I want to ask that question tonight. We have been experiencing the work of God in this gathering. We have seen how God worked in and through us in the commissioned family in the last 10 years. But I want to ask a fresh question to all of us. Son of man, do you see it? Do you see it? God is with us. And God is doing things in and through us. Question for you and I to answer is this: do you see it? So I'm asking you, for you to respond. If you had lost a chance to respond earlier, do you see it?
Yes.
That was 300 people. Do you see it?
Yes.
That's like it. Okay. Now, I want you to turn around and ask a man or a woman who's sitting next to you and ask that person, do you see it? All right. Thank you for doing that. You will have a lot of time to see it. And I like us to think, when Ezekiel is writing this passage, it was a time when the original temple was broken down. Absolutely. There's nothing left there at that time. And I want us to translate that situation, not just the temple. I want us to translate what Ezekiel is feeling in a foreign land. And what may have happened to some of us, what may be happening to some of you right now, you could actually relate this passage. So, the question is, when Ezekiel is writing this, when there is no hope, when you are taken into exile into another nation, you don't even have a citizenship in that place, where there is no hope, this passage tells us there is hope. When you think darkness has surrounded you, this passage suggests there is a ray of hope. When you think all is finished, there's nothing left, this passage suggests there is life. When you think God has left you and gone and He is not with you, it's not over yet. He comes to us in a fresh way. He comes. The story is not over. The story will never be over until God says it is over. Brothers and sisters, we've been seeing things, experiencing God in a new way. But I want you to understand this. We are here, we've been hearing about faith, we've been hearing about devotion, we've been hearing about His kingdom, grace, unshakable gospel, and church. It is not only limited to a conference. It is for us to take it. It is for us to go from here and display it in wherever we function. Can I hear an amen for that? And as you see in this vision, Ezekiel was taken by this man and he said, "Son of man, do you see it?" As he looked and he see water coming from the threshold, and it's little water coming. It is a vision of the temple. It is not a real temple. He's seeing the vision and water is coming from this temple threshold. As I was preparing this, I felt when things are in ruin, when hope has disappeared, when things doesn't look good, darkness is setting in, it is not a time for we naturally see things in God. We like answers coming from one another. We call our friends, we call the family, we call the pastors. We look for answers in one another. And what is happening in the world today? The world is looking for answers from the government. The world is looking for answers from the politicians or those in authority. But as you read this passage, there's something for us to take to heart. In this story, the answer does not come from the king. The answer does not come from the powerful kingdom. The answer comes from God. And if it was true for Ezekiel, it will be true for us today, and it will be true for us even for tomorrow. All our challenges, all our problems, the answer comes from God. It's not from the government. Thank God for the governments. Thank God for the rulers and the authorities. Thank God for the politicians. But the answer does not come from those people. The answer comes from God. And we must know this truth in our hearts. There are two, three things that I want to just place it before you. We must know the source of this river. It is God. It is coming from the temple. And then the how it flows, it starts very small. And as the vision progresses, you see Ezekiel is not able to swim into this river. So it is something that started small is really growing big. And you must know the direction in which this river is flowing. And as you read the story carefully, and you must thank God for it, and I'm thanking God for it, the river flowed in a direction that was where things were dead, and it brought life to those dead places. And we must believe, as Church of Jesus Christ, we must believe, as we look to this river, the direction in which this river is flowing is a good direction. It's a good direction. But as I speak, and every time I say something, I want you to keep that picture in mind. Son of man, do you see it? So I'm asking you once again, brothers and sisters, do you see it? Thank you. Keep looking for it. Now, you may also experience that this river is unlike all the other rivers that you see. The origin of those rivers, it starts big. It really starts big. But this river that Ezekiel is seeing in a vision, it doesn't start big. That must give us hope. That must give us encouragement, because the things of the kingdom does not start big. It starts like a small mustard seed. And it grows and grows and becomes big. That vision that Daniel had, a stone that cut out, a rock that cut out, came and it began to grow and fill the whole earth. It is the same story, isn't it, even today? When we think of a church plant, we are not thinking of thousands of people to start with. We heard there's an amazing church planting stories from Duncan and Adam. They started small, a call that was accepted in a time like this, and they started small, and in within no time, it has grown to 70 to 80 people. And we must believe this river has the capacity to just increase and increase. As we see in this passage, this river, there are different commentators have talked about what this river is meant, how this river is going to, what it meant for us, and all those kind of explanation. But the Bible does not give a direct interpretation of this vision. But we can, looking at other passages and looking at other situations, we can draw some parallel to this vision. And I like to think that this river that is starting it is going to increase. Even for us as Commission family, I believe we have just begun. There's something significant is awaiting each one of us. It starts out in a way you can hardly see it at all. It ends in a way that you can't even deny it if you wanted to. That's where we are going. I was talking to Guy on day one. Remember, we used to have a conference much before we coined commission. The churches that Guy was overseeing had a gathering in New Forest called Accelerate. How many of you remember that? Yeah? Yes. We were 1,200 people gathered and we celebrated at that time. But today, in this gathering, over 1,500 alone are young people and children. Hallelujah. At that time, we never imagined we would be like this. At that time, we had UK and India. Today, we are working into 16 nations. And I believe we will move into other nations as well. It was great to meet Eustace and Teresa and to hear their story as well. Wonderful to see that which started small, it is now you can't deny it even if you want it. It is the same story in India. Much before we became commissioned, New Frontiers started maybe 4 decades ago. One church, handful of people. Today, in India alone, we have over 250 churches. And we want to give glory to God for that. And I believe, again, it is only the starting of our journey together. And I want to invite you into this wonderful journey God is leading us to. Your starting point is not your stopping point. Let's not stop where we started. We started, some of you may have started now. Some may have started 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But we don't stop there. We go deeper and deeper into this river of God. And we will see breakthrough happening as well. This water that we see in this vision is the Holy Spirit. And this river increases. The flow of water increases. The flow of water started in the upper room. For us, the church, the flow of this water started in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Many tried to stop the flow of this river. Many tried to stop the flow of this river. But the river continues to flow even today. Not only in Commission family, all over the world, this river is making progress. And that's why we read in the book of Joel and in the book of Acts, it has been repeated, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. If anyone wants to try to stop the flow of this river, God is saying, the more you try to stop it, the more I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. The more hindrance, more stoppage, more persecution, I can say this confidently. Don't get disheartened by persecution because the Spirit of God will be poured on even more on those who are persecuted. When Ezekiel was seeing this vision, the Babylonian kingdom tried to stop the flow of this river. They didn't succeed. The river continues to flow. We don't have a Babylonian kingdom anymore. And then came to the Roman Empire. They tried to stop it. I read this from Michael Eaton's son has written a book, and he mentioned this in that book. at the closing end of the Roman Empire, AD 363, the dying emperor Julian said, "Oh Galilean," he meant Jesus Christ, "Oh Galilean, you have conquered." Hallelujah. You have conquered. This is the words of a dying emperor. Many empires have come. Many emperors have come. They died and gone. But the river continues to flow even today. Can I give you a suggestion at this point? I feel we need to improve our clapping. If you are doing things, I feel nice when I clap because I feel some warmth come to my hands. Do it wholeheartedly. The Roman Empire tried to stop the flow of the river. The communist thinkers, they tried to stop the river. Then the voice from the Middle East began to say, "We will stop the flow of this river." And then from the East tried to stop the river. Now from Asia, including the country that I come from, there is a concerted effort to stop the flow of this river, and I can tell you they are wasting their time. Because all of these different people tried to stop the flow of the river. All of them have used persecution as a means to stop the river. Can persecution stop the flow of God? Tell me.
No.
No, absolutely not. We have stories of people being persecuted even in commissioned churches in India. They have been beaten up. They have been taken to police. Some are put in jail. Their properties have been damaged. And we were feeling bad for these brothers and sisters. And some of our leaders met with them in person, and we went to their place and we said, "How can we help you?" We prayed with them, we encouraged them, and we asked them a question. "What do you want to do now? Do you want to go somewhere and go quiet for some time?" You know, these are good ideas. We come up with all these clever, you know, like, "Yeah, we want to help you. Let's move away somewhere, hide somewhere," all these things. These are all good thoughts. And our brothers and sisters, they said, they have tried to stop us by beating us up, putting us in jail. Now, if they have to stop us, they have to invent new methods to stop us. Because the river will continue to flow even in the midst of persecution. South Korea sends the maximum number of missionaries to the world at the moment. And their neighboring country tried to stop them. Has it changed? Absolutely not. Verse 7 to 10, the passage that we read earlier. "When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, 'This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down to the Araba, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be a large number of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Hallelujah. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En-Gedi to Eglim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. I don't know how the Mediterranean fish, how to know how it tastes, but it must be really good. It says it in the Bible. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, if God has shown a vision to Ezekiel, and God will fulfill that vision. We must believe this vision will be fulfilled even in our lifetime. We cannot let go things drift. Julie and I, Guy and Heather, Emmanuel and Allison, we were in US a couple of months ago. We met some amazing people. We told you about it already. One of the things that we kept hearing about the LGBTQ and all that is connected to that. And it saddened our heart. And you know, when we come here into this nation, it is a hot topic. And it is catching up in our nation as well. But I want to say this to you, with all due respect to you, brothers and sisters, church cannot back off from these issues. We must believe the river will flow into those people as well and bring life to those people as well. Let us not give up. Let us not give up. Let us not think that that is a section of people. Oh, that's not us. We don't do that. But this river has the capacity and the capability to bring life into those areas as well. This river is going into the desert. What is the desert that we are talking about? It is a present spiritual condition of the church. It is a spiritual condition of the church, and I believe during the pandemic, number of people struggled, not just the pandemic, the COVID virus attack, but I think people got discouraged, locked up in a house. People were asking questions, what's the future? Will there be any future? Will we ever be able to gather like this? Will the church be able to gather? Will we ever be able to fly? And those were the fears that ruled our thinking at that time. You agree or not? Yes, we all gone through that fear, and all have changed. We are in a room together like this now. And things will continue to change. The younger generation, I hear that in our nation. I hear that when we come here. It is wonderful to see the young people. Some of them come and occupy the front row here, you know, the second and third. I love that enthusiasm they have. And we want to see more and more young people occupying the front rows of our gatherings. We want to see that is happening. The younger generation are thirsty, brothers and sisters. There is emptiness. That's why they look here and there. That's why they are distracted. They are bored. We now have a generation wanting reality more than anything else. They are looking for reality in our preaching. They are looking for reality in our conduct. They are looking to the church and the leaders for more and more reality. We see younger people drifting, and sometimes parents feel helpless. They feel helpless. Most of the prayers these days, when you talk to parents about their children, and we want to see this river really making inroad. We cannot accept the most clever, intelligent, smart, energetic, educated generation to go to hell. We want to see all of them coming into this river. We want to see things happening in and through them. And we must pray, God, do this in our time. Lord, do something new. We've been sensing in these times of our gathering that God is doing something new. And we cannot, as preachers, I'm saying this to myself, we cannot just rely on the borrowed preaching anymore. We got to dig into the Word of God. We got to pray. We got to rely on the Holy Spirit to have fresh revelation that comes from the Word of God, this eternal Word of God. And that, when we give it to the people, life will begin to flow again. And I want to say this to all of you, preachers and church who are listening to preachers, it is time that we wake up the preacher. Preachers are trying to wake up the church, and I want to encourage you, church, wake up the preacher so that he will preach or she will preach with passion, with fresh revelation, and we will see breakthrough. Let faith arise. Not just all the different things that we see around, the merchandising and all the other things. Let faith arise in our generation. If the Bible is what we believe it is said to be, we are going to see the greatest move of the Holy Spirit in our days. The river has a powerful, this is a powerful river, and it has the power to heal. And I believe tonight, in a very short while, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Not now, I'll tell you. And when they come up, and you're going to lead us to a time of worship, and I'm going to ask certain section of people, tonight I believe God will bring physical healing in our midst. Because I have seen in our gathering, commission gathering, several people have been healed when we prayed for the sick from the front. And we believe tonight we will see that. Tonight we're going to see people set free from addiction, sickness, depression, evil attacks. Do you believe? Do you see it, brothers and sisters? I believe this whole vision is a prophecy for the time that we are living in. The river will flow into the Dead Sea. The multitudes will come. They will receive life, and the river, when the river comes to them, they will receive life. You may be seeing, I'm going through a dry spell, but tonight will be the end of your dry spell. I believe the river will flow into every individual, every church, every leader. Even leaders go through a dry spell. And if you are a leader and you're going through a dry spell, tonight we must believe you will be swept into this river of God, and you will be set free from every sense of dryness. Let the river flow, brothers and sisters. And the man asks, Son of Man, do you see? Do you see? It is a good day to be a Christian. It is a good day to be a Christian. And my prayer for all of us, Lord, do it again. Do it for me. Do it for the church that I lead. Lord, do it for all our leaders, all our churches, and all our people. Do it in our day. Let the river flow. Do not resist the flow of this river, because the problem that we have because of our increased knowledge and our capacity, our ability to do things in our own way, we resist the flow of this river. Let life come back into every dead areas of our life. Let the healing take place as this river flows. Let the river flow. Let this river flow into the dead areas of your life and my life. If you are feeling dry, come to this river tonight. Holy Spirit is given to those who ask. And we are going to ask the Holy Spirit to come in a fresh way into our midst. I want to tell you a very exciting story that happened a couple of weeks ago. I was speaking at a camp. A Tamil is the language in the southern state of India. They speak, and we have four churches gathered together for a camp. And we were close to 140 people at this camp. And half of the camp, the people who attended the camp, the half of those who participated were from a gypsy community. Gypsy community. Now, when you organize a church camp, I'm sure you had organized several church camps. It is mostly for the church people, and everyone is a Christian. Maybe one or two are not Christians. But in this camp, of the 60 people who came from the gypsy community, 55 were unbelievers. 55. And the one of the pastors who organized this camp, and he said, on the day 3, we want to break bread. I said, for what? He said, yo, it'll be a good time we break bread. It is a wonderful moment. I said, look at the people. 55 people who does not know Jesus Christ. They have not accepted Christ. What is the point in breaking bread with those who know God? We got to do something different. Of course, all the preachers who spoke at that camp, we have to literally read all the scriptures before we came, because most of these gypsy people, they don't know how to read and write. They don't have government documents to prove their identity or citizenship. They don't get admission in the school. They are rejected by the schools. They are rejected by the society. So they live in tents. We live in tents once a year. But they live in tents all the time. I believe one day if they come to a gathering like this, they will think that, oh, there is nothing changed. So these 55 people, and we had to share. I mean, I kept all my notes in the room. I didn't bring it. I began to talk to them in stories. And they began to understand. On the last day, our leaders said, let's do something different. We made all these gypsy people sit down, men and women. And these leaders knelt down and washed the feet of these gypsy community. And as we did that, they began to cry. Because that kind of thing is never done to them by anybody in the world. We can do it because we belong to that river. Wherever we go, because Ezekiel saw the vision of water coming and it becoming a massive river. But as you read the epistle from Apostle Paul, we read that it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says that, as yourself, you are God's temple, that God's Spirit dwells in your midst. As Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Now, I have a question, brothers and sisters. Where does God dwell on earth today? It's a question to you and you. Where does God's river dwell on earth today? It is dwelling in us. Those of us who have Christ as our Lord and Savior, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, the river is with us and in us. Do you not know, Paul says, you yourself are God's temple. And that God's Spirit dwells in your midst. So the man who's guiding Ezekiel around this vision, he asks him this question, "Son of man, do you see this? Do you see it?" You and I go from this place, we are the carriers of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in this temple. And wherever we go, the life begins to flow into those places. When Eustace and Teresa go back to Ghana, the life flows through them and through that church in Ghana. We go back to India, life flows there. And friends from US, they go back to US, life flows there. Our friends from Portugal and from Spain, wherever we are, and all across England, as you leave this place, life flows from you. It is an unshakable mission that God has given. No one can stop the flow of this river, because you and I, as long as you and I are alive, the flow of the river cannot be stopped. Can I hear an amen for that? Amen. And you may be asking this question, God, what Vinu is saying is, I can hear it, but I'm far from it. I can't see you in my life. I can't experience you in my life. Are you here? Are you with me? I'm going through this tough time. There's a lot of darkness around me. There's a lot of doubt in my mind. There's a lot of despair. But I believe God is causing this river to transform you and I. Do not discount what a little tiny bit of presence of God can do, brothers and sisters. Do not doubt that if you have a little bit of that tiny bit of presence of God in your life, there are rivers of living water flowing out of you towards those in despair, towards those who are in darkness, towards those who are dead. We are the light of the world. We are going to experience things in God. Jesus said, as we walk out of these doors today, there is a city around us who lives in deadness and despair. What do you see? Do you see the deadness? There are some things around us that are dead and dead and dead. But we've got to believe God will use every single one of us, not just a few, every single one of us, and God will cause that dead situation to come alive. So I will come back to that final time, that question. Son of man, do you see it? Son of man, do you see it? Hallelujah. I would request the band to come up. And they're going to lead us. And I'm going to call out on certain areas. And I will pray. And then I will hand it over to Steve. So, as the band comes up, I want you to hear the scripture from Psalm 46. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High God dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at the break of the day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Somebody said hallelujah. Hallelujah. God Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Amen.